Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's motivational aim targets your identity is not in things. And for those who are joining me for the first time, I want to say thank you, and I want to briefly catch you up to speed. I'm in a series entitled Identity Crisis, and this series is from a Bible plan I was able to write last year. And this series is going into detail about what people identify themselves with. And you have some people who identify themselves with things, people, status, or even the most horrendous events of their lives, thinking that makes up the sum total of who they are. And that is far from the truth. And depending on what a person believes about themselves, that could possibly lead to actions that either propel them forward or derail them off track or cause a major negative regression. So I encourage you to listen to part one of this series, but now I'm focusing on the target that your identity is not in things. We currently live in this social media era, and people get information about people, events, causes, or situations in real time. And that information is either good or bad. And when information is shared, individuals have the option to like a post, comment on a post, repost that post, react to that post, follow the person who posts the post, or unfollow the person who posts the post. It's just so many things you can do from a post, all on social media. Now, you have a person who could be scrolling on their social media timeline, taking a glimpse of somebody's profile, and they just see that a person got married, somebody had a baby, somebody got promoted, another person just got a new car, another person just got a brand new house. Man, somebody got a significant amount of money. Or somebody has spread out a whole bunch of $1 bills and $5 bills, and the total amount just equals $25, but it's spread out on their mattress, and they put a little post that states, man, I make buku money, you know what I'm talking about, I get it in. But unfortunately, somebody out there is jealous of somebody's $25. You have some people look at other people's posts and they see what people are sharing and they literally lose their minds behind it. They look at these posts and they look at people's lives, these snapshots in time, and they're jealous, upset, mad, and they're mad because they don't have $25 laid out on their bed, and the $25 that they're jealous of, that person who took the picture borrowed it from somebody. They're upset that they don't have the house, and they don't have the mate, they don't have the car, they don't have the promotion, they don't have the kids, they don't even have the disinfecting spray, they don't have the sanitizer, they don't have the gloves. They're just upset about their life, period. They look at themselves in the mirror and say, man, who am I? What have I become? What does my life mean? If I was like so-and-so, man, I'd be happy. Not realizing that they are blessed and that they're comparing their identity with someone else. And it doesn't matter if someone is posting some luxurious purses, cars, clothes, and jewelry. It's important to thank God where you are. And there's nothing wrong with luxurious purses and cars and clothes and jewelry and money spread out on the floor, on the mattress, on pillows. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is something wrong when you look at your situation and you're so upset that you don't have what somebody else has, not knowing how they got it. Now, some people got it the right way. Some people got the wrong way. Some people got things in a selfish, shameful way. But it's important to thank God where you are and not put your identity and worth in what somebody else has or the things that you want to acquire. Your identity should be in Christ. Because when you get to the point, or when a person gets to the point where they start seeking things before God, that's a major problem. You lose sight of the giver and you're focused on stuff. And then sometimes people get so caught up in their identity and having things, they dismiss what God is doing for them right there in their lives. And they dismiss the journey and the progressive steps God has brought them through. There are some people who will get into fights, okay, with their parents, their spouse, their friends, their loved ones, because they are comparing their lives and their identity with people and their stuff, not realizing how they got it and what they have to do to keep it. And there's nothing wrong with taking pictures of a couple in a committed, God-honoring relationship. And they all lovey-dovey, hugged up, skinning and grinning, having matching outfits. And they have these pictures with these beautiful flowers and rose petals and luxury cars and handbags, chocolate turtles and gift cards to steak restaurants and handwritten notes expressing one's love and gratitude to their mate. There is nothing wrong with that because people want to just share what somebody did for them. There's nothing wrong when you see these posts with somebody's best friend took them to Disney World for a week. Or their best friend hosted a birthday party for them. There's nothing wrong when you see other people post their children's report cards. And they all got passing grades and A+ and college degrees and diplomas. And there's nothing wrong when you see people on Christmas Day or Christmas week wearing matching pajamas. There's nothing wrong with these big balloons, cupcakes, fine cakes, and these delectable meals, candlelight dinners, brand new house, brand new car, group photos taken at brunch with everybody looking right, makeup on point, trips to Hawaii and Paris. There's nothing wrong with that. That is A-okay. All I'm saying is to not get caught up comparing yourself with somebody else's stuff, with somebody else's things. And what I've noticed, if a person is not in the right state of mind and they stay on social media too long, they find themselves doubting their identity and all the things the Lord has blessed them with and their accomplishments. It's almost as if they just diminish it because they are looking at what somebody else has and they want to match that. They want to top that, or they didn't get the same number of likes somebody else got when they posted their stuff. They didn't get as many reposts and retweets and comments and mentions and all types of stuff about the bag, about the outfit, about the couple, about the accomplishment, because they get to a point where they are looking down on their individual identity of what God is doing in their lives because they're looking at other people's things. And everybody has a different journey. Everybody's doing different things, or they should be following what God called them to do. And when you get to the point where you start comparing yourself, you are in a situation. And there's nothing wrong, as I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with owning and having beautiful, expensive, luxurious items if you can afford them. And I'm a proud supporter of having and owning beautiful items. I am a proud supporter of being extra in all things, okay? And there's nothing wrong with posting your relationship and your events and what you did and where you're going and what you're doing. But for the one viewing it, a person has to be in a healthy state of mind and also be in a God-honoring state of mind, because no one's identity is in an object or a thing. Our identity is in the omnipotent owner of all, and that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because just like God can bless somebody with something, He can take it away or cause someone else to take it away. And sometimes there are situations when people are jealous of people because of what they chose to post, and they don't even have a clue of how they acquired what they're posting and putting up. You have some people who are jealous of someone's posting pictures about a luxurious cruise that somebody went on with their family, not realizing that this person that they are possibly jealous of, that person mismanaged their money. They used up all the money they had, just a stunning front for the gram. And when they got home, everything was disconnected, repoed. Somebody lost their job and there's no food in the house. Then there are some people losing sleep because they're comparing themselves with the person who they see all over social media again. This person could be traveling and they have to wait to travel to get their resources in order effectively. Now, they're doing things the right way, but their jealousy is getting the best of them because they keep looking at this one particular person leaving the country and staying at places for extended periods of time. It could be weeks or months at a time. And they're not realizing that on the last trip that this person was stunting and fronting for the gram for, and they were somewhere for a long period of time, they got stuck out there. Because a pandemic was going on or is going on, and the country that they were in went on just straight up lockdown. They weren't letting anybody in or out. So somebody's jealous of somebody who can't even get back to the States. And that happened. It was a person who was, man, they always traveling. They always get to go X, Y, and Z, man. They always doing this and they always doing that. Look, they over here now. And I'm looking like they shouldn't be traveling because there's a lot going on right now. Man, they taking pictures here and there. Then when the person months later gets back, they are complaining about how the trip was a disaster. The country that they went to was on lockdown. So the restaurants and the little outings and places that they were scheduled to go to, oh, all that stuff was shut all the way down, okay? They were confined to their hotel room and probably a little convenience store because everything was shut down. And they had to just sit there until they could come back. But somebody looking at that person's post really thinks that they're living large and taking charge, not knowing that they went through a real situation. There could be a person jealous of somebody taking a picture hugged up with their quote-unquote boo, bae. And they're looking, oh my gosh, their relationship, oh my gosh, it just looks so sweet. They really love each other. Oh my gosh, they even traveled, you know, to another country together. That looks so romantic. Not realizing that, yes, they did take pictures with each other. But somebody dipped out on somebody and left them stranded in another country. There are some people looking at somebody's relationship, not knowing what they did to get in that relationship and the hell that they're going through to keep it. There are some people looking at someone's material possessions, questioning their identity because they see people with all this stuff, not realizing also what they possibly did to get it and the embarrassment they are going through to keep it or downsize without the truth being exposed. So we have to be mindful that if God didn't ordain us to have it, we shouldn't be trying to obtain it. It's important to also know that God knows how to get things to you. God knows how to get your desires fulfilled. God knows what he's doing in your life and the time he's doing it. And jealousy and hate, they are real. And jealousy and hate can lead a person to thinking the more things that they acquire, that means that their identity is valuable or they're worth something now. And that's so far from the truth. When a person believes that their identity can be found in the attainment of things, a crisis occurs because things are temporal. Items are often lost, money depletes, people unfollow you, likes cease, repost, stop, followers fade, and stuff just depreciates. And a question I have is, where does a person's identity go when the value of things they've identified themselves with disappears or is non-existent? It's important to aim to not allow things to define you. God's word is active, or should be active, in your life, and it should be the absolute identifier of your purpose-filled existence. In scripture, there's an account of somebody seeking their identity in things. And when they did this, they got caught all the way up. So the account that I'm referring to is found in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And I encourage you to take some time and read that chapter in its entirety to gain an understanding of what I'm referring to. And as you take a moment to read that passage of scripture, I encourage you to just pray to God and ask Him to speak to you on some things that you possibly need to work on individually as you aim to keep your eyes focused on Him and not in things. So to give you a backdrop of what took place, there was a commander of the army of the king of Aram by the name of Naaman, and he had a serious skin disease. And people saw his skin, and he was aware of it. And anyone who has any type of ailment or disease, whether it is internal or external, knows how a disease causes dis-ease in a person's life. So when a person is encountering a disease, it does cause dis-ease in a person's life, their personal life, their professional life, their academic life, their social life, and even their financial life. Dis-ease is exactly what it is. And some people can see it all over you in some way, shape, or form. So this prominent army commander had a young girl who served his wife. And the young girl says to her boss, "There's a man of God in Israel who could cure Naaman of his disease." So Naaman goes to his boss, the king, and told him what the young girl says. And the king, seeing his condition, lets him go ahead and get the medical attention he needs. In a sense, he sends him off to be healed. Now the king provides a letter to the king of Israel, letting him know, "My commander of my army is coming to you to be healed." And then Naaman arrives with 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. And these clothes were not just some ugly, old-fashioned garments, okay? They had to be top-notch for what's about to occur. So now we fast forward. Naaman meets Elisha. Elisha lets Naaman know what he needs to do to be cleansed. Tells him to go to the Jordan River. Naaman does it. He's healed from his skin disease. Now Elijah the prophet had an attendant, an assistant, an apprentice by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi witnessed what this prominent army commander came to Elijah with. He saw those clothes. He saw that money. He saw that gold, those silver valuable items. He saw it all. He saw Naaman's attendants. He saw who he came with. So after Naaman is healed, Naaman tries to offer Elijah the prophet some things, you know, just to thank him. But Elisha refuses, and he has a reason why he refused it. So Naaman leaves. Now he's healed and he's gone. But Gehazi looks at Naaman's position, the things that he had, the things that he obtained over time, which was that gold, that silver, those clothes. And now I'm about to read 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, in the 19th through the 27th verse. So he said to him, "Go in peace." After Naaman had traveled a short distance from Elisha, Gehazi, the attendant of Elijah, the man of God, thought, "My master has let this Arminian Naaman off lightly by not accepting from him what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and asked, "Is everything all right?" Gehazi said, "It's all right. My master has sent me to say, I have just now discovered that two young men from the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 75 pounds of silver and 2 sets of clothing." But Naaman insisted, "Please accept 150 pounds. He urged Gehazi and then packed 150 pounds of silver in 2 bags with 2 sets of clothing. Naaman gave them to 2 of his attendants who carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the gifts from them and deposited them in the house. Then he dismissed the men and they left. Gehazi came and stood by his master. "Where did you go, Gehazi?" Elijah asked him. He replied, "Your servant didn't go anywhere. And my heart didn't go when the man got down from his chariot to meet you," Elijah said. "Is this a time to accept silver and clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, flocks and herds, and male and female slaves? Therefore, Naaman's skin disease will cling to you and your descendants forever." So Gehazi went out from his presence, diseased, resembling snow. So you heard what happened. Gehazi picked up the things Naaman had. He saw something valuable in those things because it says he thought, "My master," referring to Elijah, "has let this army commander, this leader, leave without accepting the things he brought." Gehazi was focused on the things that Elisha did not accept. And as the Lord lives, he said, "I will run after him and get something from him. I will get some things from him because those things are valuable. Those things will cause me to be able to do some things." And how I see myself, I'll make a shift. My identity will change when I get those things. Then he got the clothes. He just wanted a few things, but he ended up getting 150 pounds of silver. And then he hid the things in his house. And then the very thing he found or ran after to seek his identity in, he now was going to be identified with it for real because he now had that skin disease. The very thing he was seeking his identity in and the very thing he acquired now clung to him for the rest of his life and it affected his descendants. And that's a lesson for us to be mindful of what we identify with and who we identify ourselves with. Our identity is not in stuff. Our identity is not in things. Because looking at Gehazi, we can see he was trying to get something, and the very thing he was getting came at a cost or came with the cost. And the cost was he picked up the very thing those things came with. And you see that happen with some people today. They say they want this, they want that, they want these things, they want those people. And then when they go obtain these things the wrong way, they acquire the problems and issues that come with those things and those people. And they either have to keep what they got, throw away what they got, but it comes with a cost. And then they realize, man, this might not be the thing that I really wanted because I didn't know that when I went to go run after this the wrong way, this what it came with. And then when they backtrack, they realize if I had to hide to go get this thing, this is not what I was supposed to go get. This was an illusion. It wasn't even real. Now that I went to go obtain something that God didn't ordain, it comes with a cost. It comes with a consequence. Because somebody was focused on a thing and having their identity in a thing and not focused on having and maintaining their identity in God alone. And that's what Gehazi did. And we not only see with Gehazi, we see it with our interactions with people. And if we're honest, We've seen it with ourselves. When we went to go seek after a thing, a person, for the sake of our identity, and we realize we picked up something that God did not ordain if we did it outside of God's will, and we picked something up, did something we had no business doing, acquiring things we had no business acquiring, not realizing it's on us now. We have to live with it now because we did something we had no business doing now because it comes with a consequence. There are some people who are misinformed. They don't realize that the things that they don't have does not define them, and the things that they do have don't define them. Things don't define us. Our obedience and relationship with God defines who we are. Gehazi's actions and seeking after things caused him to receive exactly what the things came with when things are obtained the wrong way. And this is a powerful example that seeking our identity in the wrong things comes with a price. And it is wise to identify with the one who already paid the ultimate price, and that's Jesus Christ. And a scripture I would like to leave you with is Psalm the 34th chapter and the 10th verse that states, "The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." And I wanted to share this promise from God with you because there will be times in your life where you might think you're missing out and you don't have the things other people have. And at times when a person doesn't have the things that they desire or what they think will propel them to the next level in comparison to somebody else, it can be very negative. And a person can, if they don't check their thoughts, think that their identity is worthless or that they're useless. But God is letting us know that our identity is not in what we can produce or what we can't produce on our own. God is the one who provides for us, and we lack no good thing when we seek God, no matter the situations going on around us, in us, or through us. So remain encouraged and never forget that your identity is not in things or stuff. Your identity is found in the very word of God concerning you. And if your identity is found in God, then everything is good. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. And if you would like to download the Identity Crisis Bible Plan, feel free to head over to my website, drkenitrabryant.com, where you can access this resource for your individual or group Bible study. And you also have the option to review a condensed version of the Identity Crisis Bible Plan on the YouVersion Bible app. And don't forget to share this podcast and connect with me on Instagram at Encouraging You. Enjoy the remainder of your day and aim to keep at the forefront of your mind that your identity is not in things, your identity is in Christ. Peace and God bless.